Welcome to Late Talker Radio, the podcast that helps you navigate the early years when faced with your child having language delay. Packed with everything you need to feel empowered and positive about the future. Here's your host, consultant speech and language therapist of 20 years, Joanne Jones.
Hello and a huge warm welcome to today's episode of Late Talker Radio. So today what I want to talk to you about is choosing a nursery and different types of nurseries and what to look out for. Choosing a nursery can be a really difficult process, and knowing the right things to look for your child are really important. That's even more so when your child is struggling with their talking. I opened and set up a nursery and spent a long time looking into that, visiting lots of nurseries. And in my job as a speech therapist for the NHS, I visited hundreds of nurseries over the years. And I was able to kind of gather information about what worked and what didn't work and how to make the decision as to which is the right nursery for you. Now, before I go on to talk about this in more detail, I do want to say that it is a little bit like sometimes like trying to find a house. You can have the location you prefer, how many bedrooms you want, what kind of garden that you want, a garage, and you have this big long checklist. But actually, when it comes down to it, there might be a house that you just feel is right and is right for you, and maybe some of those things on your tick list you've had to compromise on because this house has got that feeling. And it's a little bit similar when you're looking at a nursery. You might find that there's one that just feels right, and actually the tick list goes by the by. And you know, I would absolutely say that sometimes your intrinsic feeling should be listened to, and you know, don't quieten that because it's probably the right thing. Okay, so first of all, I wanted to talk about the different approaches. Now, I'm in the UK. I'm a speech therapist in the UK, and I've only ever worked owning a nursery and as a speech therapist within England. And so what I'm talking about, if you're in a different country, might not be as applicable, but it is worth just listening to the different aspects and seeing whether you can adapt them to your local environment. So the first thing is that there are different approaches to early years teaching and different philosophies. And so it's really important to be aware of those. And some nurseries in the UK will call themselves, so for example, Montessori is one that you're probably familiar with, and they'll call themselves a Montessori nursery. Whereas another nursery might be a more traditional nursery or a mix of pedagogies. And so they might have elements of the Montessori within them, but they're not an actual Montessori nursery. And so if you know those approaches, you can kind of look out when you're visiting nurseries and think, oh, that probably comes from this approach, or this nursery is a mixture of these, or it's more like this approach. So the first one I'm going to talk about is a Montessori, and this was started by Maria Montessori in Rome in the 20th century. And she kind of took a very scientific approach at teaching children and really learned by watching the children as to what she felt was the way forward. So this curriculum is about self-motivation and about love of learning. And it's about discovery and not instructing the children too closely. So if you think back to yourself at playgroup or nursery, you might remember that there was a real tradition in the past of giving children an activity to do. So for example, one that springs to mind that I remember is making a daffodil, and you were given the leaves cut out and the stem cut out and a bit of an egg box cut out into the right shape, and you had to paint it yellow and stick the pieces in the right order. And if you didn't, somebody maybe came along and helped you to get it right, and at the end of the day there was 20 daffodils all looking the same. Well, Maria Montessori would not have liked that approach at all. What she wants is for children to be experimental and not given instructions. So she would give children the necessary parts or maybe the right colour paint, but then leave them to create whatever they wanted. So it might not be quite what we would do as a daffodil, but it would have been a process of learning. And she talks about it being the process. She also talked about the environment being very important and planning and thoughtfully preparing the environment. So if you go into a Montessori nursery, often they will have kind of trays of things set out that the children can then use to do different experiments and different activities. She also mixed ages, so she wouldn't put the two-year-olds in one room, the three-year-olds in the other. She would have a mix of ages, believing that children learn from each other at different stages. And the Montessori teacher is a very important part of that environment. And the Montessori teacher is trained to really look at the child, what they like, what gets them going, what interests them, what they're good at, what they need help with, and really getting to know that child, not just about the developmental level, but about everything about that child. So the Reggio Emilia approach is another approach that was started in an area of Italy called Reggio Emilia after the World War. And this is an approach of learning that is very unstructured. So it's very much child-centered and with the child leading their learning and leading their play. And so the children would, the adults would watch for the child for what they're interested in and give them more opportunities within similar ideas. And what the Reggio Emilia says is that children have 100 ways to express themselves. And one of those might be talking, but there's other ways of expressing yourself. And that might be in drama, it might be in movement, it might be in painting, it might be in sculpting. And so it's all about giving children that ability to express themselves and giving them the control to decide how and when they're going to do that. The Waldorf Steiner approach is a German-based approach, and it's got spiritual underpinnings. It believes that children go through seven spiritual phases of their life that last 7 years. It's very much based on imaginative play and experimental opportunities. So opportunities. So copying what adults do and learning through in that way. So the nursery is set up very much like a home environment, and the toys are sourced from very simple and natural sources. So it might be that instead of having a plastic playset that's been bought in the shop, the children would have actual pots and pans and spoons that have maybe been picked up along the way at charity shops, that kind of thing. And they're very discouraging of anything electronic in the Steiner approach, and they believe that children should have free play with actual objects, and that the time is kind of split between art, between outdoor play, between circle time. So there's a bit more of a structure than maybe you would find in the Reggio Emilia approach. There's also developmentally appropriate practice, and that is about looking at the child, where they're up to, what they need to achieve next, and how they're going to get there. And it's about giving the children developmentally appropriate activities and kind of measuring them on a chart and ticking off. Now, that goes against the other practices, because the other practices would be much more child-centered and just letting the children learn at their own rate, whereas the developmentally appropriate practice is much more about outcomes, children achieving certain things at certain points. So those are the main ones that you're going to come across. And in fact, you might find that most of the nurseries that you look at are a mixture of all of those approaches. They're doing elements of each, but they're not kind of purist of any one of those approaches. So look out for different elements. Nurseries are definitely moving towards more natural resources and less bright colours and less plastic, because it's been found that children's curiosity is sparked if things are more relevant to real life. And also, you know, trying to help children to have an appreciation of nature and of different things in the environment is really important. So what I would say is that if you are ready to choose a nursery, or you're looking for a new nursery or preschool or playgroup for your child, is visit a few that fit what you're looking for in terms of timing, in terms of journey, in terms of price, and But don't just look at one or two, because I think that you need to get a feel and you need to have a comparison between how things are in different environments. So I have broken it down into three different areas that I would recommend that you have in your mind as you go. So you want to look at the environment, you want to think about the staff, and you want to think about the children that are there in that environment already. So if we think about the environment at first, we want to think of that in terms of your child's needs. So physically, where your child's up to, does that the environment mean that they have full access physically, but also sensory? So if you've got a child who becomes very overstimulated very easily, and you walk into a nursery that is brightly coloured, there's lots of things on the wall, there's things dangling from the ceiling, there's lots of toys everywhere, is that going to be the right place for your child? If your child is a child who becomes overstimulated easily or needs quiet time or quiet space, I would be looking for an environment that has quiet corners, it has dens, it has the room split up into areas. It's not got too much on the wall or too much dangling. I think traditionally we feel that we want the environment to be busy. That's what we're used to looking at. And you might go into nurseries that are very colourful. They've got hundreds of pictures on the walls. They've got number charts dangling from the ceiling. They've got an area that's covered in fish. They've got sparklies everywhere. But think of that from your child's point of view. Anybody who's been listening to me for a while knows that I'm always asking you to think of that through your child's eyes. If your child walks into an environment that's very busy and has got all these elements, it might be overwhelming for them before they even start. And if you were overwhelmed, if any of you as adults have ever felt overwhelmed in busy environments, you know that not much learning is going to go on, and actually not much happiness is going to be there for your child, because they're just going to feel this angst all the time. Lots of nurseries now are moving towards having plain walls, having less on the walls, less hanging from the ceilings, having more natural muted colours, and we find that children in these environments are much calmer, they're much more focused on what they can create rather than the environment doing the creating for them. So have a look at the resources that are supplied. Are they following this kind of natural resources, or are they more of the plastic resources? Are they ordered nicely? So is it organised? Can the children reach the resources? Are things broken and in bits? Is there bits of this and bits of that? Or is it very obvious what is there and available for the children to play with? Are things labelled in an orderly fashion? Are the children encouraged to look after the environment and to keep things safe? Is there an outside environment, and how is that set up? Have you got a very busy child who needs to move around a lot, and is there the space for them to do that? Are there areas within the outside space for gross motor skills, for using a bike maybe, for climbing? And again, is this done with lots of added resources, or is it a very natural environment? I personally go towards the more natural, but that's for you to decide as a parent. But just remembering that your child's needs with all these different things need to be met. So the next thing that I would look at is the staff. And there's an element of you just want to feel that you like the staff and they're friendly towards you and friendly towards your child. But take a bit of time to watch how they interact with the children. Are they involved in the children's play, or are they the staff that are standing on the sidelines and maybe chatting to each other? I see that a lot in nurseries. Or are they interacting with the children? Are they down on their level? Are they supporting their play? Now, there's a really fine balance, I think, between staff who are chatting amongst themselves or standing back, or sometimes paperwork in UK nurseries can be overwhelming and staff are focused on the paperwork rather than on the interacting with the children. But you equally don't want staff that are leading the play and leading what children are doing and giving too many instructions. So not allowing the children to develop that play at their own rate, but are more kind of policing what goes on and giving instructions. is there a routine in place, or is it very obvious where the children should be and what they should be? Now, for some places, they move away from routine and they do very open play. And if you think back to the Reggio Emilia approach, that would be very conducive with that. So children lead their play. They maybe have an open snack time where they can eat when they're hungry. Other nurseries have a more structured a session. So now it's snack time, now it's circle time, now it's singing time. And it's watching how that's managed. And sometimes in some nurseries, what happens is because the routine is so structured, it can be that the staff are spending a lot of time moving children from one activity to another. So trying to get everybody to stop and put the toys away, and trying to get everybody to lunchtime, and trying to get everybody's coats and hats and scarves on to get outside. And but if it's very unstructured, you might find that children are getting restless and bored, the play's becoming boisterous, nobody's really very focused. So it's looking at those two extremes and finding something that you feel comfortable with in the middle. Are the staff shouting over the top of the children? Are they using language that is positive? Are they giving positive feedback? All these things are so important for children's learning. And if there's one thing that I wish I could do, is to change the interaction of staff in nurseries to mean that they are positive and encouraging, but letting the children lead and taking opportunities, you know, thinking about what they're stopping them from doing. You know, sometimes it can be, you know, that these things belong in this area and they mustn't be mixed with the things that are in that area. But is that really helping the children to be creative learners? So listen out for how many directions the staff are giving, how much they're spending time listening to the children and encouraging the children to talk to them. Is it a case that everybody's trying to talk to the staff at the same time and that they are having to say no, no, no? And, you know, are these staff getting down to the child's level and really listening to what's being said? And the next indicator is to look at the other children in that nursery and see how they are behaving. So in a nursery that is catering to children's needs, the children will look really happy. Now, that's not to say that all the children have to look really happy all of the time, but if there's children that are upset or not settled, how are the staff dealing with that? Are they comforting them, or is there unhappy children that are just sat on staff's knees? Because that's another thing that can sometimes happen if the staff are not tuned in, that you just get children that are unhappy, have not settled, you know, it's maybe early days, but they're just sat on the staff's knee, or the staff are carrying them around. But with skilled staff, what you'll find is that they are encouraging those children. They're really helping them to feel bonded and connected so that they can go off and play and begin to have experiences away from those staff members. It is a really difficult balance, and I know that I'm probably contradicting myself and saying, well, they should be doing this and should be doing that, but look out for these kind of things. Are the children busy talking? I've been into some settings with very tight Montessori type settings where the children are given tasks and they're working through them, where there's not a lot of talking. The children are busy on their own, doing their own activities. Now, for a child who is a very talkative child and hasn't got any difficulties with language, there's nothing wrong with that, because that child will naturally talk and chat at other opportunities, and actually helping them to focus in a quiet way can be really beneficial. But if you've got a child whose talking is you know, they're struggling with talking, or their talking's not coming on as you thought, then they don't want to be in an environment where talking is not the priority, where they're, you know, they're encouraged to be quiet, because that's not going to help them with their language. They're not going to be hearing other children talk, and they're not going to feel comfortable experimenting with talking. So bear that in mind. Are the children busy, and are they overly busy? So what you're looking for is children who kind of hone in on a couple of children and notice what they're doing. What you're looking for is a child who is engaged with their activity. They're maybe playing with another child if they're at that developmental stage, or maybe just on their own, but they've got everything they need close by to be engaged and busy. Without looking as though they're bored, without becoming overly busy, without running around and looking aimlessly about and not settling. The toys should be at the right level and there should be enough of them that the children just become engrossed in them. And the other thing is, are the children overly interested in you? And I could always tell where children were really craving that adult attention, that adult interaction, because if I go into the nursery, the children want to know me and they want to for me to interact with them. And that's not to say that I would, you know, I want the children to be happy and to be, you know, enjoying and seeking out new and different adults. There's nothing wrong with that at all. But if you find that all the children are more interested on you than they are on the environment, then it might just mean that the environment in that nursery is not needs tweaking a little bit to kind of create that interest back. So I've gone into quite a lot of specifics, and I want to go back to what I said at the beginning of this podcast, is that, you know, sometimes there's just that right feeling, and, you know, some of these boxes that I'm talking about might not be ticked, but don't override your intuition, because often that will be the right thing for your child. I just wanted to give you some kind of parameters and benchmarks to kind of think about when you go in, because, you know, we don't know about this stuff necessarily. And when you go into a nursery, you might be judging it on maybe the nursery you went to, or on how you, whether you like the look of it, whereas actually there's more to it that you can use to help you to make that right decision. I hope you found that helpful, and thanks so much for listening. Thanks. Bye bye.
Thank you so much for listening to today's podcast. Please look out for the next episode coming soon. And don't forget to take a look at our show notes at joannejones.co.uk. See you next time on Late Talker Radio. Bye for now.